Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Tell the Abba Yahuwah. I just want everybody to put your hands up for Abba Yahuwah. Yeah. Yeah. Put your hands up, my people. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, my people. Put your hands up. Put your hands up, my people. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Yeah. Told her Abba, I'm thankful for every piece. Every piece of mind you gave me while functioning through these streets. New day, different grind, but I promise I never leave. New trials, new hurdles, I jump up like track knees. Attack beats for my Abba, this passion, it runs deep. For your people living tragic with habits uncomely. One way to keep you down with these mental lobotomies. Distracted what they feed while my people are under siege. No justice, no peace, picking signs, they picking up. Only if they would return to my Abba, he lift them up. With no trust in the system, it's filthy, dirty, corrupt. Never had our best interest, we put ourselves in this rut. What a shame, my ancestors is rolling out in their grave. Reflection, who you serve, reflect on how we behave. A disobedient child would never reach heaven's gate. While the media would capture the downfall of a slave. While your mama in the front pew, tears behind the shades. Staring at your casket, emotions become delayed. Heart filled with pain, Yahuwah ain't playing games. A wide road is deadly, encourage to switch that lane. And I plead with you, Abba, I need your heart in exchange. If you don't know a man, when truly he is to blame. Three fingers our direction, how lowly have we became. Main finger at our oppressor, but surely you pull the string. A mouth through a complaint can tighten up on the chain. Joshua saw his people fall off for the same thing. Knowing most of them were slain, only few of them overcame. We must all count the cost that his walk is truly in vain. So his men are puffed up, they can never truly obtain. More concerned with being seen than respect on Yahuwah's name. Genealogy won't save you, this flush that's on down the drain. No matter 12 tribes, your fringe is all much to fly. I think if your righteousness don't exceed the Pharisee scribes. To be hard-pressed, trust even harder to stay alive. No job, double-minded man, prayers don't reach the sky. Went up and came down like a crack fiend when it's high. I know we all must decide, Yahuwah resist the pride. The humble and the meek will inherit what he describes. So wonderful and beautiful, never seen with your eyes. Come out of it, my people, become a suitable bride. Put your hands up, my people, put your hands up. Put your hands up, my people, put your hands up. Put your hands up, my people, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up for Abba. Put your hands up. Put your hands up for Abba. Put your hands up. Put your hands up for Abba. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Yeah. Praise Abba Yahuwah.
Put your hands up, people.
In a set apart place.
Put your hands up for Abba. Put your hands up.
Him and his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with blowing the shofars. Praise him with the harp and the lyre, the tambourine and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. With all that breathe. Praise Yah. Yeah. Praise Yah.
All right. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. I am a trucker by trade, man, and I just making a pickup in the middle doing business transaction and getting my truck loaded. Running about a good 15 minutes behind, but that's all right. I'm got it settled. Everything's good. And here we go. Let's get started, man. Let's get a little recap. We're in 2 Maccabees. That's what we're going to be reading in today. Do a recap on the first Maccabees, okay? The Greek Empire was 350 years. That's how long they reigned, all right? The Roman Empire is over 1,000 years is what they reigned. That's a long time. Think about how many generations that is, right? But focusing on the Greek. In that 350 years, they produced a lot of generations with that also, okay? This takes place after the Persian Empire, after Israel went back and rebuilt Israel, okay? The only thing they had was the Torah, and they had the prophets, right? And dealing with the prophets had a lot dealing with, you know, Babylon and a lot dealing with the Persia, Medes, you know. And that was all the literature they had. The Apocrypha as we know it, you know, and the Book of Jubilees, you know. This is all the information that they had at this time as far as reading in the temple, what the high priest would read to them on the Sabbath, okay? They have been conquered and you know, you name it, they went through it, you know. Took slaves up to the Greek area. They were paying tribute, all right, in this area. Alexander the Great then came through there and conquered everybody, right? And they was kind of just living in, you know, miserable. But, you know, it was they were getting by, man, you know, waiting on God to intervene or send a prophet. They're just waiting on God here, right? And but during this time, the Greek throng, even though they conquered him and did those things, Greek did something to the mind of all the people that they conquered, was basically showing them that, yes, we're foreigners, but there's good about us, right? If you just get to know us. that's a good way of saying it. There's good about us if you just get to know us, right? They was full of knowledge, just a bunch of education that he's given out freely, you know, algebra, dealing with the stars, and most importantly, how to, you know, make a living. You can sell this and that if you just, you know, gather up your garden and go toward Assyria. You can sell it for so-and-so amount of money, you know, and, you know, the king gets his taxes on that. But man, there's a bunch of trades that folks was doing, carpentry to wood cutting. People were buying it left and right. They loved the trees and the wood that they had in that area, you know. And the people even loved the food that they made, you know, and all the olive oils, all the oils and spices and things like that. It was money. There was so much money. That as we kept reading the first Maccabees, we're seeing that they was in-house fighting. It was cousins fighting against cousins and brothers. And it was so much stuff. And it makes you wonder, like, what's the beef? Power, man. There was so much money, so much gold and silver that it just blew everybody's mind on this area. This particular area was God's area, Israel. Is the border between Egypt and Assyria, right? And but through this area, this pipeline, I guess you could say, connects all types of folks that can do trade throughout there. And it was so much money that we could see them just literally fighting over this money, right? Everybody wants access to this money tree, you know? Just produces on its own. And, well, and so anyway, everything was all good to, you know, they got too greedy and they wanted to take other kings' portions, you know, in their kingdom and just to have the, you know, more power. And they got the bright idea because they, a huge number of Jews were speaking Greek and they were very active in the whole scheme of things in transferring this money and bringing raw materials to get sold. Greek pretty much fell in love with this area. It's a well-known fact that Alexander the Great fell in love with Egypt area, you know. But even Israel and Assyria, the Greeks just loved this area too, as well. And they wanted all of them to have a Greek culture about them. So everybody can just feel at home no matter where they at, you know. Build a coliseum there, you know, have the Olympic Games or whatever. They had big ideas for this area. And they wanted all the Jews to worship their gods and eat the food they eat, you know. You just have a pig farm right there in Jerusalem, you know what I'm saying? And a bunch of these Jews, they was kind of, well, you want to call them Hellenized because they took on Greek culture. And they was down for it, you know. They just kind of figured that God has left them. You know, they're going through their punishment again. Might as well just kind of make a living where we're doing. Then you can't beat them, join them, you know, until God, you know, sends somebody to change the game. Or well, I don't know. Maybe that's not even the case. Maybe these Jews outright just gave up on God and worshiped a whole nother God. Man, it's hard to admit that, but just that may be even the case, you know. That 300-something years is a long time. Maybe kids that grown up worshiping, you know, Zeus, you know, Hercules and all of that, they don't know the origins of them, just they was Greek God, Thor, you know, Odin and all of that, Wonder Woman, you know what I'm saying? So maybe they just fell in love with all of that. But anyway, these Maccabees were a group of guys that wanted to fight back and change the game, bring that Torah way of living back to the land. And they gave it their lives up for it. And one by one, we've seen them die, man. The dad and all his sons, we've seen them all perish, right? But before they perish, I got to say, they gave them a fight for their money. And a lot of people surrounded them had to take off their hat for them because they deserved that respect, you know. They respected their on the battlefield, and that led to them getting a bunch of things accomplished in Israel, fortifying of Israel and all the strongholds, making Israel – battle ready, right? If anybody tried to invade Israel, they was battle ready, right? But Israel is just a small little portion, all right, of the grand scheme of things. There's a government ruling all this vast land. And so they was cool with the government up to a point that the government enemies, which is Rome, sent a letter to the Greek government, to the Greek king, telling the king how Israel has pledged allegiance with them and how nobody better not mess with them because they're our friend and we're going to come and help them if needs be. You know, almost like you can see the mischievous behind that, you know. They're already looking to have a confrontation with the Greek Empire. But now they think they see an opportunity. If the Jews beat the Greeks down for us, and then we'll just, you know, be friends. You know, may save them a lot of time and money, maybe. Maybe. If the Jews don't win, they'll probably at least, you know, knock the Greek soldiers, their number of soldiers down a little bit for us for when we tackle Greeks. You know, who knows what their plots and plans were, but they did that. They let them know, and when that happened, the Greek Empire turned on Jerusalem, and they threw everything in the kitchen sink at them. Well, the end, they did it by a trap. They set a trap in for the head leader there, Jonathan, and that's how Jonathan died. So Simeon took over. Well, yeah, Simeon took over, and Simeon ended up dying the same way through a trap. So that's how we end the first Maccabee. So I'm hoping to get started in the second Maccabee. And again, y'all, I'm sorry for running a little bit late. I'm a trucker by trade. And, it gets like that sometimes, right? Let me open up your line, see if y'all got any comments, man. I got Brother Ronald and Sister Thale is also with me. All right, let me open up y'all lines. Shalom, shalom, y'all. Y'all, thank you for being patient.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for being patient. All right. And Brother Ronald, hello. Are you with us? Shalom, yeah. Shalom, brother. Thank you for being patient and hanging on there. Since I'm running late, I'm going to be kind of quick, and I'm just going to go ahead and get started and dive on in, all right?
All right.
All right. Shalom, shalom to y'all. Thank y'all. Man, it gets rough sometimes, right? So without further delay, y'all, let me go ahead and get started on this here. All right. Open up my Bible. Go to 2 Maccabees. All right. 2 Maccabees, verse 1. And here we go. The brethren, the Jews that be at Jerusalem and in the land of Judea, wish unto the brethren, the Jews that are throughout Egypt, health and peace. I don't know who's writing this, but apparently this is quotes a copy of a letter that the second Maccabees is starting off with. Okay. God be gracious unto you, and remember his covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his faithful servants, and give you all an heart to serve him and to do his will with good courage and a willing mind, and open your hearts in his law and commandments, and send you peace, and hear your prayers, and be at one with you, and never forsake you in any time of trouble. And now we be here praying for you. What time as Demetrius reigned in the 69th year, we the Jews wrote unto you in the extremity of trouble that came upon us in those years, from the time that Jason and his company revolted from the Holy Land and kingdom, and burned a porch and shed innocent blood. Then we prayed unto the Lord, and we heard, and were heard. We offered also sacrifices and fine flour, and lighted the lamps, and set forth the loaves. And now see that ye keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the month Kislev. In the 84th year, the people that were at Jerusalem and in Judea, and the council and Judas, sent greetings and health unto Aristobulus, King Ptolemy's master, who was of the stock of the anointed priests, and to the Jews that were in Egypt. Okay. Now, let me pause right there. I did a little Google searching about the Maccabees a little bit, and I understand that there's, when you see that anointed priest and high priest, there's a difference there, because the Greeks also had somewhat of a high priest during this time that they had set up. Those high priests was over their temples, their pagan temples, things like that. So I really didn't get the full detail of what's all happening here, but I can tell you that we need to keep our guard up when we're hearing about high priests, especially a high priest that wants to fight against the Jews, okay? All right, I just want to throw that in there. Insomuch as God hath delivered us from the great perils, we thank him highly, as having been in battle against the king. For he cast them out that fought within the holy city. For when the leader was come into Persia, and the army with him that seemed invincible, they were slain in the temple of Nanea by the deceit of Nanea's priest. For Antiochus, as though he would marry her, came into the place, and his friends that were with him, to receive money in the name of a dowry, which then the priest of Nanea had set forth, and he was entered with a small company into the compass of the temple. They shut the temple as soon as Antiochus was come in, and opening a privy door of the roof, they threw stones like thunderbolts and struck down the captain, hewed them in pieces, smote off their heads, and cast them to those that were without. Blessed be our God in all things, who hath delivered up the ungodly. Therefore, whereas we are now purposed to keep the purification of the temple upon the 25th day of the month Kislev, we thought it necessary to verify you thereof, that ye also might keep it as the Feast of Tabernacles and of the fire, which was given us when Nehemiah offered sacrifice after that he had builded the temple and altar. Okay. For when our fathers were led into Persia, the priests that were then devout took the fire of the altar privily and hid it in a hollow place of a pit without water, where they kept it sure, so that the place was unknown to all men. Now, after many years, when it pleased God, Nehemiah, being sent from the king of Persia, did send of the posterity of those priests that had hid it to the fire. But when they told us, they found no fire but thick water. Then commanded he them to draw it up and bring it. And when the sacrifices were laid on, Nehemiah commanded the priests to sprinkle the wood and the things laid thereupon with the water. When this was done, and the time came, the sun shone, which afore was hid in the cloud. There was a great fire kindled, so that every man marveled. Let me pause right there. I've seen a little bit about this. What they're describing is what they consider like a miracle, something miraculously happened. When they came out of Babylon, or the Persians took it over, so the Persians, allowed them to go back and rebuild the temple. You can find this in the book of Nehemiah, where, he had built it and rededicated the temple, building a new temple for us and things like that, rebuilding Israel altogether. Anyway, during persecution, they had put this, the eight-candle deal. I forget what it's called, but the Jews have an eight-candle candlestick type of thing. And I'm sorry, I know the word, but I'm losing it right now. I can't know the word for it. But anyway, they put eight candles in. He hid it. It's like something very valuable to me, right? And it's supposed to stay lit, and every so often the priest is supposed to keep adding the oils to it or whatever to keep it burning. It's supposed to always stay burning. They put it where no man knew, in a special little hiding spot. And when they uncovered it, after all these years, it was water down there or something like that. And they got it out, and they used it in their ceremony. And apparently, when it started, a fire came on it all by itself or something like that. And that's where everybody just, melted, basically. They just know that means that it's God. God is definitely here in this place, and he's pleased at what they're doing right now. I guess in a nutshell, that's what's happening here, what they're describing. And the priest made a prayer while the sacrifice was consuming. I say both the priest and all the rest, Jonathan beginning, and the rest answered thereunto, as Nehemiah did. And the prayer was after this manner. O Lord God, creator of all things, who art fearful and strong and righteous and merciful, and the only and gracious King, the only giver of all things, the only just, almighty, and everlasting, thou that deliverest Israel from all trouble, and didst choose the fathers and sanctify them, receive the sacrifice for thy whole people, Israel, and preserve thy own portion and sanctify it. Gather those together that are scattered from us. Deliver them that serve among the heathen. Look upon them that are despised and abhorred, and let the heathen know that thou art our God. Punish them that oppress us, and with pride do us wrong. Plant thy people again in the holy place, as Moses has spoken. And the priest sung psalms of thanksgiving. Now when the sacrifice was consumed, Nehemiah commanded the water that was left to be poured on the great stone. When this was done, there was kindled a flame, but it was consumed by the light that shined from the altar. So when this matter was known, it was told the king of Persia that in the place where the priests that were led away had hit the fire, there appeared water, and that Nehemiah had purified the sacrifices therewith. Then the king, enclosing the place, made it holy, after he had tried the matter. And the king took many gifts and bestowed thereof of those whom he would gratify. And Nehemiah called this thing Naphtar, which is as much as to say a cleansing. But many men called it Nephi. Okay, chapter 2. It also found in the records that Jeremiah the prophet, commanded them that were carried away to take of the fire as it had been signified, and how that the prophet, having given them the law, charged them not to forget the commandments of the Lord, and that they should not err in their minds when they see images of silver and gold, which they're with their ornaments. And with other such speeches exhorted he them that the law should not depart from their hearts. It was also contained in the same writing that the prophet, being warned of God, commanding the tabernacle and the ark to go with you, as he went forth into the mountain, where Moses climbed up and saw the heritage of God. And when Jeremiah came thither, he found an hollow cave, wherein he laid the tabernacle and the ark and the altar of incense, and so stopped the door. And some of those that followed him came to mark the way, but they could not find it, which when Jeremiah perceived, he blamed them, saying, as for that place, it shall be unknown until the time that God gathers people again together and receives them unto mercy. Then shall the Lord shew them these things, and the glory of the Lord shall appear, and the cloud also, as it was shewed unto Moses, and as when Solomon desired that the place might be honorably sanctified. It was also declared that he, being wise, offered the sacrifice of dedication and of the finishing of the temple. And as when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, even so prayed Solomon also, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. And Moses said, because the sin offering was not to be eaten, it was consumed. So Solomon kept those 8 days. The same things also were reported in the writings and commentaries of Nehemiah, and how he founded a library gathering together the acts of the kings and the prophets and of David, and the epistles of the kings concerning the holy gifts. In like manner also Judas gathered together all those things that were lost by reason of the war we had, and they remained with us. Wherefore, if ye had need thereof, send some to fetch them unto you. Whereas we then, and are about to celebrate the purification, we have written unto you, and ye shall do well, if ye keep the same days. We hope also that the God that delivered all his people and gave them all inheritance and the kingdom and the priesthood and the sanctuary, as he promised in the law, will shortly have mercy upon us and gather us together out of every land under heaven into the holy place. For he hath delivered us out of great troubles and hath purified the place. Now as concerning Judas Maccabeus and his brethren, and the purification of the great temple, and the dedication of the altar, and the wars against Antiochus Epiphanes, and Eupator his son, and the manifest signs that came from heaven unto those that behaved themselves manfully to their honor for Judaism, so that, being but a few, they overcame the whole country and chased barbarous multitudes. and recovered again the temple renowned all the world over, and freed the city, and upheld the laws which were going down, the Lord being gracious unto them with all favor. All these things I say being declared by Jason of Cyrene in 5 books, we will essay to abridge in 1 volume. For considering the infinite number and the difficulty which they find that desire to look into the narrations of the story for the variety of the matter, we have been carefully that they that will read might have delight, and that they that are desirous to commit to memory might have ease, and that all into the whose hands it comes might have profit. Okay. Therefore, to us, we have taken upon us this painful labor of abridging. It was not easy, but a matter of sweat and watching, even as it is no ease unto him that prepareth a banquet and seeketh the benefit of others. Yet for the pleasuring of many, we will undertake gladly these great pains, leaving to the author the exact handling of every particular, the laboring to follow the rule of an abridgment. For as the master builder of a new house must care for the whole building, but he that undertaketh to set it out and paint it must seek out fit things for the adorning thereof. Even so, I think it is with us. To stand upon every point and go over things at large, and to be curious in particulars, belongeth to the first author of the story. But to use brevity and avoid much laboring of the work is to be granted to him that will make an abridgment. Here, then, will we begin the story, only adding thus much to that which have been said, that it is a foolish thing to make a long prologue and to be short in the story itself. Okay. All right, that's the end of chapter 2. So what are we getting from the first and second chapter? They took us back in time. I don't know who wrote this letter in the beginning, but I'm trying. They just took us back in time, y'all. When Judas was the leader of the camp of the Maccabees, and he had won some wars, and he had got that candle, it took us back in time when he did that and redid that temple. Remember, on the December 25th, that was the rededication of the temple and all that. The story kind of starts off taking us back in time when he did that and the candlesticks. And apparently, from what I gathered from that, it lit it up on its own or something like that. And everybody marveled and, you know, they was like, whoa, you know, it blew their mind, right? And they doing these sacrifices and they reading out of Nehemiah, you know. And when Nehemiah, what he was doing in the temple and things like that, you know. So it gives you the first and second chapters seems to me is kind of took us back in time and dive us into the, when Israel, you know, got their temple back, everybody's on one accord, you know, the agenda is set and they're thanking God right now, you know, because it's going to get ugly. In the Maccabees. So I guess it's starting off kind of pleasant to the ear for the reader, I imagine, you know, because it's going to get ugly, I'm pretty sure, dealing with Rome. All right, here comes chapter 3. And after this chapter, I'll come to y'all, okay? Just hold your questions. I'm going to go ahead and try to read chapter 3, man, because I'm ready to, you know, pick up where we really left off at, in the end of Maccabees, first Maccabees. Okay. Now, when the holy city was inhabited, this is chapter 3, y'all. Now, when the holy city was inhabited with all peace, and the laws were kept very well because of the godliness of Onias, the high priest, and his hatred of wickedness, it came to pass that even the kings themselves did honor the place and magnify the temple with their gifts, insomuch that Seleucus of Asia, of his own revenues, bare all the costs belonging to the services of the sacrifice. But one Simon of the tribe of Benjamin, who was made governor of the temple, fell out with the high priest about a disorder in the city. And when he could not overcome Ananias, he got him to Apollonius, the son of Thericia, who then was governor of Cilicia and Phoenicia, and told him that the treasury in Jerusalem was full of infinite sums of money, so that the multitude of their riches, which did not pertain to the count of the sacrifices, was innumerable, and that it was possible to bring all the king's hand, that it was possible to bring all into the king's hand. Now, when Apollonius came to the king and had shown him of the money whereof he was told, the king chose out Heliodorus, his treasurer, and sent him with a commandment to bring him the aforesaid money. So with Heliodorus took his journey under a color of visiting the cities. Okay, under the cover of visiting the cities of Cilicia and Phoenicia, but indeed to fulfill the king's purpose. And when he was come to Jerusalem and had been courteously received of the high priest of the city, he told him what intelligence was given of the money, and declared wherefore he came, and asked if these things were so indeed. Then the high priest told him that there was such money laid up for the relief of widows and fatherless children. Some of it belonged to Hyrcanus, son of Tobias, a man of great dignity, and not as the wicked Simon had misformed. The sum whereof in all was 400 talents of silver and 200 of gold, and that it was altogether impossible that such wrong should be done unto them that had committed it to the holiness of the place and to the majesty and inviolable sanctity of the temple, honored over all the world. But Heliodorus, because of the king's commandment given him, said that in any wise it must be brought into the king's treasure. So at the day which he appointed, he entered in to order this matter. Wherefore there was no small agony throughout the whole city. But the priests, prostrating themselves before the altar of their priests' vestments, called unto heaven upon him that made a law concerning things given to he kept, that they should safely be preserved for such as had committed them to be kept. Then whoso had looked the high priest in the face, it would have wounded his heart, for his countenance and his changing of his color declared the inward agony of his mind. For the man was so compassed with fear and horror of the body that it was manifest to them that looked upon him what sorrow he had now in his heart. Others ran flocking out of their houses to the general supplication, because the place was like to come into contempt. And the women, girt with sackcloth under their breasts, abound in the streets, and the virgins that were kept in ran, some to the gates, and some to the wall, and others looked out of the windows, and all, holding their hands toward heaven, made supplication. Then it would have pitied a man to see the falling down of the multitude of all sorts, and the fear of the high priest being in such an agony. They then called upon the Almighty Lord to keep the things committed of trust, safe and sure for those that had committed them. Nevertheless, Heliodorus executed that which was decreed. Now, as he was there present himself with his guard about the treasury, the Lord of spirits and the prince of all power caused a great aberration, so that all that presumed to come in with him were astonished at the power of God and fainted and were so afraid. For there appeared unto them an horse with a terrible rider upon it and adorned with a very fair covering. And he ran fiercely and smote at Heliodorus with his forefeet. And he seen that he that sat upon the horse had complete harness of gold. Moreover, two other young men appeared before him, notable in strength, excellent in beauty, and comely in apparel, who stood by him on either side, and scourged him continually, and gave him many sore stripes. And Heliodorus fell suddenly unto the ground, and was compassed with great darkness. But they that were with him took him up, and put him into a litter. Thus him that lately came with a great train and with all his guard into the said treasury they carried out, being unable to help himself with his weapons, and manifestly they acknowledged the power of God. For he, by the hand of God, was cast down and lay speechless without all hope of life. But they praised the Lord that had miraculously honored his own place for the temple, which a little afore was full of fear and trouble, when the Almighty Lord appeared, was filled with joy and gladness. Okay, let me pause right there right quick, y'all. Okay, so, all right, so Israelite bumped heads with the high priest. And what he decided to do, since he couldn't get the better of him or something, I don't know if he's saying they had a fight or what, but he winds up running to the king as the payback. And telling the king that there is a whole bunch of gold inside their vault in the temple, right? Yeah, it's so much gold, man, you know, down there or whatever. So the king sent the treasury guy down there to get it. But the treasury guy didn't want them to hide nothing, so he act like he's just visiting. And then, bam, he pop up on them like, hey, I heard y'all got some gold and silver down here. About so-and-so much full of it. It's so much of it. Now, hold on now. There's got to be some taxes on this here, right? You know, the king won't that. Y'all, what y'all doing with gold like that down here? And so when he did all that and the priest explained what gold it is, how you know, valuable it is, not for just, you know, for lucre, people just buying things like that. It's for widows and orphans and, you know, the needs of the people, man. It's, you know, that gold is for that. And a bunch of gold is passed down from a very brother of high dignity, you know, that once lived and stuff. It was his little old money that he had left. And, yeah, and so anyway, when the treasury guy still wanted to get it, apparently that look on his face was so sad that everybody felt it, man. Like he, not that he wasn't a cry, but, you know, it was something very powerful how the story's making it sound. And when the treasury went over there to get the money, he seen an apparition. He seen like a ghost, you know. And whatever he saw, man, with the man riding on the horse, and he seen two other soldiers. They was decked out real, you know, clean, and they up there hitting on him and everything. Yes, it did a number on his head, man. He fell to the ground. All right, and everybody sensing this just like, whoa! All right, this is the holy place right here. Okay, okay. So with that being said. Okay, I see I got the green light, y'all. Okay, with that being said, I stopped at number 30. I'm going to pick up at 31. Let me open up your mics right quick, because Sister Dale, I think I'm going to need your help right quick. All right.
All right.
All right, your mic's open.
Okay, that candlestick is called the menorah.
Menorah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think I think it shined like 8 days straight. That's why it's eight of them. or something like that. It's a very holy relic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they light one for each day.
Okay,
and they,
got
you know, say a prayer and they celebrate that. Is that right, brother? Well, that's what I've information I've gathered, I believe.
Sister Dale, if you could you I gotta go and sign some paperwork right quick, and I'll be right back. You think you can hold down the show until I be right back?
Well, yes, I can. The only thing that I'm on lock. Yes, I can. Go right ahead, brother. I'll go ahead and try to finish this because when I bring this up online, if you were to go online and look up Second Maccabees, and it reads slightly different from what he was reading, and I'm sure he's reading it from the original book, and this is an online depiction of the book. So let's go to verse 30. Or 31. And it reads, some of Heliodorus' friends quickly asked Ananias, the high priest, to pray that the Most High would spare the life of this man who was at the point of death. So the high priest offered a sacrifice in hope that God would save Heliodorus. I guess he's the treasury agent. But he did not want the king to think that the Jews had done this to the man he had sent. 33. Ananias was offering the sacrifice. The two young men wearing the same clothes as before again appeared to Heliodorus and said, be grateful to the high priest. The Lord has spared your life because of him. Remember that it was the Lord of heaven who punished you. Now go and tell everyone of his great power. And when they had said this, they disappeared. 35. So Heliodorus offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made many promises, because the Lord had spared his life. And then he said goodbye to Ananias and returned with his army to the king. You know, this is almost similar to the other books that we have read. Even it wasn't this at the when Christ was when he was being was arrested, and in the is that the Garden of Gethsemane, is that right? This is very, very similar. So we know how when you call on the Lord, it was like they just all pleading and praying and everything. But at the precise time, it's when he sent his cavalry, when he sent his people to control the situation there. So let's go with number 36. There he told everyone what the Lord, the most powerful of all gods, had done. 37. When the king asked Heliodorus who would be the best man to send to the next mission to Jerusalem, and Heliodorus replied, if you have an enemy or know someone plotting against your government, send him. He will come back badly beaten if he comes back at all. But some strange power of God is at work there. Now, this is what he reported back to the king and said. So he's letting them know, you know, I don't know if they'll come back or not, but you can go ahead and try and send him. And then verse 39. The God of heaven watches over the temple. He strikes down and destroys anyone who comes to harm it. That is the story of how the temple treasury was protected from the agent from the treasury of the king. So that was 39, and I believe that's the end of that chapter. So do you have any comments you want to add to this story, brother?
Yeah, that sounded like it was some angels.
Yeah, they were angels. Okay.
Appeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is just showing, giving us a view of the history of what part they played in, you know, during the when they first conquered, defeated Jerusalem or took over Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
They're one of the last Jews to hold out and try to, when it came back, when they first was went through the war, I believe that was in the Maccabees 1, and then they had a great battle, and they survived it. They conquered it. But the second time they were being attacked, this is the time when, that was the time when they are going to lose. Right, and they're gonna be put out of the land. Is that right? The Jews,
yeah,
sent into exile.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Maccabeans are a vital part and kind of set the tone for a lot of the things that we can see in the Bible with other, you know, people. Other stories. It's so
yeah,
similar,
do
it. You know. Yeah.
He talks about Moses, you know, Nehemiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, was it Jeremiah you said? I think he quoted Jeremiah, I think, on there too.
I'm not quite sure, but yeah. I just, you know, I would have to take some time and just go back through that, or I would suggest locate and order you a book of the Maccabees, because
yeah,
that's not
all. I got a pocket for right here.
Okay.
I got one for myself. I haven't read it. I read a couple of scriptures in there, but I haven't read the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it. Huh?
Oh, okay. So you just went online and ordered it, or?
No, I went to a bookstore and picked it up.
Okay. All right. So
yeah.
That's what we need to do. Just, you know, go to your favorite bookstore and search, because is the Maccabees in the Apocrypha?
Yeah. Mhm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you buy that one book,
yes,
and
ma'am,
you get the all of the chapters of Maccabees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you know
this
is primarily. Yeah. So this is primarily talking about the different festivals and stuff, isn't it? How they kept the, you know, for dedication and that type of thing. So,
yeah, it talks
so
all about the
feasts
and stuff that they kept.
Yeah, so they was trying to keep that. They was trying to keep all of their laws. And I was looking at earlier where it says that, you know, they try to make it to where you read this and you're not going to be able to just memorize it. But when you just talk about it in summary, it just lets you know how, you know, people that, you know, that was followers, Jews or Israelites, how they, all of them was effective in everything that was happening to the Israelites back then. There were several people and several groups, because I think the Maccabees was like a family or something, right?
Three or four boys.
And they were all, you know, very, very, I don't know if you want to call them leaders or whatever. They were priests.
Yeah, it seems like they was a family.
Yeah.
They was Israelites. I know that for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just for a little general information. It says Onias, which is Onias, was the third son of Simon.
Of who?
The second. Okay, he was the third son of Simon.
Okay.
The second. Yeah. So.
Okay.
So
Simon,
you know, that
was
a.
He was a high priest, huh?
Yeah, I believe so.
Priest,
I believe.
Yeah.
I believe they were of the priesthood, that family, probably. But that's really good to know some history, to know, you know, what's in these books, you know, and just talk about it, you know, and and so he's taking time out to because there are so many people who's not going to read it, but they need to know some of the history of the Israelites.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, brother. You have a comment?
Yes, I appreciate that, Sister. I'm still kind of occupied at the moment, but I'm trying, y'all. But I can kind of talk a little bit if y'all don't mind the noise I got in the background. As far as that Simon, I think they took us back in time. I don't think that's a Maccabee Simon. That's a whole other Simon. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Because it mentioned some about it was his son, you know?
Yeah.
That was bumping heads and or something like that. They telling a story. It started it off with a story, took us back in time there. And that's just throwing it off. We want to read it like a normal book, you know, but it's actually time. They actually filling us in with information, historical information on what led to what. And and they felt the need to want to send us back in time a little bit, but you know, nevertheless, we probably need to, in order to piece this puzzle together, we probably need to just keep reading and see where they're going with it, and then we'll know, you know, what exactly they what the whole point was to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Because as we know, as far as the first Maccabees, the Israel's at war with the Greek government, you know?
Yeah.
And at that time, the Greek king is, I believe, was it Demetrius? It was another Demetrius, I believe it was.
Yeah.
All right? And starting the second Maccabees off, it's just, instead of picking up where it left off, it's giving us some highlights or things that they probably wish they could have added in the first one or something like that. You know, it's just starting it off like that. Yeah. So that's something to look at right there. And sister, you read it all the way to what, 36 or?
I went all the way to 39, I believe.
Okay, 39.
Yeah, the last verse. Now, this is like the online version that I have here, so it reads slightly different from what you're reading from. So this is 39 verse. Says the God of heaven watches over the temple. He strikes down and destroys anyone who comes to harm it. And then 40, this is a story of how the temple treasury was protected from Herodotus.
Okay, let's see.
So it's the priest, Onias, that prayed, and all of the Israelites, you know, they were praying, and the Most High answered. You know?
Yeah, Heliodorus. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Heliodorus, okay.
Right. Yeah, Heliodorus is, he's the king of the land right here, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So that lets you know that this is before Maccabees 1 kind of got laid out. This is, like I said, it took us back in time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part we got to kind of figure out what's going on here, you know? But it's obviously something worth that they wanted us, the reader, to, you know, to know about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we read all of chapter 3. Let's take a little. Okay, chapter 4 now, right. Okay, so let's take a little break. Let's take a little break, and we'll meet up right after the break, all right? Let me put y'all on hold.
All right.
And Sister Thel, I surely thank you. I surely thank you for that. Let's play, y'all, We Love You.
Yahuwah, we love you. Yahuwah, we need you. You are Yahuwah, we adore you. Yahuwah, we praise you. Your life don't make no sense. No, no. Without you, we ain't got nothing. You are. You created the universe. Oh, oh, oh. The ocean, seas, and rivers. Mankind in your image. Oh, 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 oh. But yet each man is unique and different. You are the creator of creation. Oh, 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 oh. The ancient of ancients. You are second chance. Ooh. I don't know what you saw. conquering, everlasting, righteous King. Let him and he will change your life.
All right. Thank you, y'all. I sure appreciate that, Sister Thel, you helping me out on that part. And we got 41 minutes left. Okay, so let me read a little bit. Got some things that kind of popped up on me, y'all. I know I'm mixing my job, man, as a trucker, in with the show. I'm just trying to make it all work together, y'all. Y'all, so forgive me on a lot of different things, but I'm trying to make it work. All right, so basically, in a nutshell, so far in the second book of Maccabees, we haven't came across the juicy stuff, the stuff that we're really looking to what's happening next, right? Because it left off with Simon was in charge. All right, and I believe Simon ended up dying at the end, and a couple of his sons died with him. Oh, man, it was horrible. They set a trap for him. And the one who set a trap for him was a wicked Israelite, right? Was a wicked Israelite. That's what I believe I got from that. But Simon wouldn't have put his trust into a Greek or something that's throwing a party. You know, I think, yeah, definitely. It was a wicked Israelite, man. And it was enough that John, who was his son John, when he seen that right there took place, he was astonished. He was just, his jaw dropped, right? Because they done fortified all Israel, and everything was supposed to be peaceful and good back home. And so as the man that killed his dad sent some troops out to go and try to kill John. And, they, you know, as a backstabbing, see, the nature of the Greek Empire worked as a snake. And you got these wicked Israelites trying to copy off of them and being clever, right? Because to them, y'all ain't nothing but country bumpkins, right? And they can outthink y'all. Y'all have no way of winning, right? You know? Because y'all not intelligent enough. You know what I'm saying? Basically, right? So I bet it's a little bit of that, man, but he did that backstabbing thing. And so far in the second Maccabees, they took us on this little trail of going back in time, back when Israel was on one accord, you know, when Nehemiah's, when they came out of, they trying to reconjure that spirit up. When God allowed us to come out of Babylon, you know, and Nehemiah's was setting up the temple. And apparently they're trying to reconjure that spirit back up. And they led us into a story how under the Greek rule, but there's another king here, this King Heliodorus, you know, is in play. So this is before the Maccabees were doing their thing, apparently. Because the Maccabees started off with this king of, I forget it, Antiochus, right? So, but right now we're talking about a King Heliodorus from back in the day, apparently, of the Greeks, and it's telling us something that went down with that. So there's a lot of Israelites that got something to say, and right now that they're adding it to the book of Maccabees, is adding in these little things that since this book of Maccabees is being written, they're trying to squeeze in some more information to us, right? So they let us in on this story that happened a little ways back, at least back when the Greek was running the show, but Israel had gold in their temple, right? Because when it starts off with the first book of Maccabees, that, you know, Jerusalem was downtrodden. Everybody was broke and, you know, just kind of skirmishing, getting by. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say like that. Because there was still money to be made, but they really was in a poor state as a country, as a nation, you know. But right now, it's talking about that they were still kind of paying their tributes and getting by pretty good, and they had a bunch of gold to give to orphans and widows and things like that. They, you know, the temple was very functional, you know what I'm saying, and everything was all right. They just under Greek rule. And it let us in onto that incident that took place there. All right, and that's just where we at right now. At least the first three chapters kind of took us back in time and taking us to these little bits that took place, you know what I'm saying, before the Maccabees. So let's get started on chapter 4. And let's see, did I even open up your lines? I sure didn't. Did I open it? Oh, man. I thought I opened up y'all lines. My bad.
Okay, that's all right. I'm just listening to you is fine for me, because, you know, this is just information that I didn't know about, you know, and
right.
So this is great information, and and this is proven to me, because I don't have the Apocrypha, so there are different people who benefit just from what you're saying. And might I add that it's tailored. The Most High has arranged this and allowing you to continue doing what you're doing, because there are some of us who just are not, we are phased where, you know, we're not getting information from the people or the Israelites that are the leaders in the different groups. We're not getting that information. So when you're talking to us as in layman's terms, I mean, it's just natural. And it's just coming clear and where it's understandable. Because, you know, Christ, you know, used to talk in parables. So people could understand a lot better and they can feel it. And so the way you were reading it and talking about it, and it just put us in almost a world we can almost envision what was going on back there. And so I appreciate that. Okay, do you have anything that you might want to add, brother? Or
No, I'm just listening.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm just saying, I don't have the Apocrypha. I don't, you know. So I'm sure, you know, the information that we give is not going to fall on deaf ears, because, you know, the Most High, he got everything. He knows everything, and he knows when you need to hear something, when you don't, and he knows how to. Sometimes some people just need that. They don't need someone just, you know, just blurting out like, oh, I have this certificate, I'm this person, so therefore you got to listen to what I say. These are ideas, these are thoughts, this is our opinions, this is how we feel, and this is our way of getting this information into our souls, into our spirits. And so far, yeah, he's blessing Brother Micah, because, you know, I understand, and I understand what he has been going through. And so the Most High is keeping him going, especially when he, you know, might have been, he was in treacherous weather. And he kept him when there was no other way. There's no one else to turn to or anything. So I must say that he is continually blessing us, and he's always with us.
Amen.
Something happened just the other day that I was, because I've been ill, brother, and I've been in and out of the hospital, and I'm still under the weather, but, you know, I have faith and I trust in the Most High and Yeshua. So what I'm saying is that I did something in the past, and I like your views on this. A long time ago, which is about 20 years ago, I invented something and received a patent. And I can tell you that during that time, it was the day of the Columbine shooting. And I had two sons, teenage sons, and Brother Micah is one of them. I was divorced. So I was fearful of what's happening in school, and I figured that since I didn't have my husband wasn't there, I figured that the streets was going to take my sons. And I prayed and stayed on my knees. And during that day of the shooting in Columbine, and I happened to be off from work, I was just having a hard time fearing losing control and losing my sons, whom I prayed for, to the streets and to crime and violence and even death, even to where I was having nightmares. So, you know, I prayed about it. I prayed about it. And one day, while they were still discussing this on the television and the news and reports, and they kept saying things such as, you know, we must do something about this. You know, parents, and because this is beginning to be something that's a wave. And so I was just tearful, and I just prayed and prayed. And then one day I was at the, I was looking at news, and I just started crying and talking out loud, voicing it out loud, which I was the only person in the house, so I was alone. And I just prayed to God to help me. And I asked, what is the answer? What is the answer for me? And why? Why do our children's mental status is so, you know, corrupt and go bad? And I was at the kitchen table, and I sat down at the table, had my cup of coffee that was there. And then I started crying, and I had my Bible, and tears just began to fall down my face and hit the pages of my Bible. Brother, I want you to know that all of a sudden, it's almost like I had my head down, and I heard this voice says, because they forgot where they come from. I thought, what? Did I just hear something? And I looked up, and I thought, what? Did I just hear something, you know? And I looked up at the ceiling, my white ceiling in the kitchen is just, you know, and I just began to just say, Lord, Father, are you saying something to me? Are you talking to me? Did I? And then all of a sudden, I went into this, I don't know, it just says that the reason why our children are going bad or violent is because they have forgotten where they come from. And yeah. I thought about that and cried about that, and I looked up and I asked, what is the answer? What can we do, you know? And I looked up and I asked a question, what am I? And it said just two words, look up. And I looked up and asked, oh, what am I looking for? What am I seeing? And I did not get a reply. I didn't get no answer or anything. So I was looking up and searching because I clearly felt as though I heard look up. And when I looked up, I'm going to tell you what I saw. I saw, because I said this out loud, what am I looking at? I'm just looking at, what do I see? I see my ceiling, I see my the decorative wallpaper border that outlines my kitchen border with a tea set, you know. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And nothing else after that, Elder, but I'll tell you what I did. I pondered on that for several a month or so, going through the news and looking at different things. I was still heartbroken, and I just kept praying and asking for, you know, something to, what can I do? And then I had a prayer that said, you know, I'm not just praying for my son. I'm praying, I want everyone, children, their sons and daughters, you know, to help them. What can we say to them that will open up their eyes so that they can see who they are? Because that's what he said earlier. And I said, how can we do that? So I went and got my album, because something said for me to look at my album. It was underneath the coffee table, right? You got that little, the one that's sitting in front of the sofa, and it's got that little area there where you can put magazines and books. Well, I had an album, picture album down there, and I got that out, and I opened it up and started looking at it, and I was thinking about where my kids, where they come from, what have I been doing? And I looked at the past, and I looked at them, and they had nice pictures in there, and they was dressed nice and neat and everything, and they never did wear their pants hanging or anything like that. And I tried to keep them in church and in involved in different things, you know. But I was a healthcare worker, so I worked graveyard, and that didn't help me at all, so, and my children. And I just kind of lost it for a minute and started having some issues with them, you know. And so I want to just say this, brother. I finally came across an idea, and I submitted it, and I know I didn't have the money. I'm a single mother, and I had two sons that lived with me, teenagers, young teenagers, and I couldn't afford it, and I have a mortgage, and you know that it was just me. And I asked, you know, I prayed about it and asked, well, how can I do this? What can I do? You know, and when I realized I could do that, and I couldn't afford it because to get a patent lawyer, I mean, it's going to be $15,000 or more.
Wow.
But you know what? You know what? But, you know, with him, anything is possible.
You say all things are possible. Amen.
All things are possible.
Yes.
So what I did was, because I prayed about it and I felt, like he said, there's nothing I can't do. So I said, why not? I can do this. Why not? So I attempted to draft my ideas down. I attempted to design it, create the design and the description and everything that goes along with it. I had to do some research. I did that. And I even went to a conference for the patent office. They give one each month in a different state. And it so happened that it was in my state at that particular time. And that information came to me by the way of the President Clinton. I wrote to him with my thoughts, and he sent that information regarding, you know, the patent office and the, you know, the invention. So I made my way there for a conference, for a 3-4 day conference, and yes. And so I have this border, but the problem with that was it cost so much to just try to talk to someone to license it. And because it was a design, I really didn't need a prototype. I just need the drawing. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to add this and try to be as quickly as I can, but I was having so much trouble, and they were just really giving me a hard time and wanting more money. Said they was researching, they were sending out my information to different manufacturers, and then I found out that I was getting a list of fake manufacturing companies. I researched that. I said, I'm not getting no feedback, and this is just doesn't sound right. And I, when I tried to investigate myself, the company decided that was nothing else they could do to help me. So I just lost a lot of money, and I was still in debt. And but I still knew that the Most High was this is what He gave me. I'm not going to worry about this, you know. So I tried to do what I could by getting investors and getting people excited about it, but I never could. But I know that nothing that He does is in vain. And I tried and tried, and then eventually I got remarried, and I decided to put my whole heart into the new marriage and raise my boys, and because I prayed about that too. I needed someone to help me raise my sons because I didn't see any way out or lose my sons. So I kind of dedicated my life, being rededicated, and put my mind off of that. And but I continued slowly. But, you know, I never did get much feedback. I never did get anyone to, and I even tried several things to accumulate funding to support getting this manufactured. But since then, I want to let you know that the school shootings and everything is just, I mean, the past 20 years. You can do your research. But I just keep thinking, if we just had that border 20 years ago, this might have really reduced a lot. But who am I?
You know, another incident happened. That 6-year-old, you heard about that 6-year-old that shot somebody?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, that was crazy.
I was just torn today. I was just torn. And I have a bad time every time I hear something like this, brother, I tell you. But now I got a different, I was thinking about it and said, oh, well, this is not going to work and it's not going to ever happen. And then a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago or a little more, my son was talking to me about Israelites and giving me some information. And, was slowly getting into it, but that was coming at the end of my term on my patent. And because I did one more attempt to make headway with it, but I didn't. But I'm going to tell you what he did do. He brought my son in this information about Israelites.
Amen.
And it's like, wait a minute. This is to let you know where you're coming from, where you come from. That was the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Our kids don't know where they came from, who they are. This border is meant for Israelites. That's what it's meant for.
Yep. I'm glad we know.
He didn't let the world take it.
Yep.
And I am in the process, but Satan is really on my back because when I came into this thought, because he is like opened up to me and everything, because I just recently got out of the hospital. I didn't think I was going to survive, but the Most High, I prayed about him, prayed about him, and he brought me through.
Amen.
And brother, I think this is for that. The memory border is a decorative wall covering border with transparent pockets. And the memory border is a border of 8 by 10 in length and width.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put information or pictures or whatever on this border and create the different times in your life of different moments or something you want to bring out and let that kid see every day, day in and day out, 24 hours. It can be in their room. It can be in your entryway, in your living room, wherever you want memories to be seen.
Yeah.
And that is what it's all about. And so I just want to share that with you and everyone else that's listening, because, you know, the Most High is still working. And he got his time when he wants something to happen. So I just
have to listen to
the prayer. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother Robert.
I'm glad you made it. I'm glad that you made it out of the hospital. Just stay. Glad you made it out.
Thank you. All right, Brother Michael.
All right. Yes, ma'am. I was just listening, and it's amazing how things come together, you know? It's just amazing. But,
I gave you back to him.
Yes, ma'am. Still, I can just listening to you all night long, man. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. But let me see. Let me check the time. We got 14 minutes left, y'all. Let's take a little break.
Okay.
Let's listen to a little song on that. Sister Sale blessed us with that backstory. And that was just awesome. We was speaking about the Matrix and things like that. How about we play that Matrix? All right. Let me put you on hold and let's take a little break. All right. Let me play the Matrix.
This could be you.
I thank y'all why that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live as
anyone.
I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he knows it's a better me. I got new eyes, he changes things. Something you see on the movie. I thank y'all why that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live as
anyone.
I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded a better. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie.
It's something my heart is telling me, it's something right in this church. I close my eyes and I feel something sitting right with his worship. Deep in my heart I feel guilty, they really run this like a business. Running service back to back like clockwork, I feel like I'm singing for Disney. I ain't never even met the pastor, the choir members don't even know my name. I stand here looking like a pastor, nobody even got a face with a shame. Everybody acting like this is normal, sometimes don't even say the word good morning. I might be only one with the discernment, I can hear the preacher watering down the sermon. But I was searching for some answers, cause in my life I was going through some problems. Even if I had to fake some dances, I was looking for somebody to solve them. Time and time again I was let down. Dealing with Christian, they would disappoint you. Don't put your trust in it.
This is my real life, this is the moment.
I thank y'all for what I made. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded the better in me. I got new eyes. He changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank y'all for what I made. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded the better. I got new eyes.
The system was never designed for us. We never been completely set free. I studied the law like a syllabus. We still in the land of our enemy. Nothing new under the sun. We still complaining, we miss my trying. We can summon the power above. He is the right hand in the Shemayim. If I tell you he what is earth, would you believe me? Would you believe? He was in fashion from dirt. He's a begotten perfect seed. Perfect example, the phenotype. Ain't arguing over no Edomite. The moment is now, we must get it right. Stop mimicking darkness and be the light. We settled for chump change when the world was created for your dominion. So many layers of lies, we gon' peel it back, back like an onion. There is no fear if you walk with Yahuwah. If you try to do sin, guaranteed to consume you. But you got another chance if you repent and make a change.
I thank y'all for what I made. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded the devil. I got new eyes. He changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank y'all for what I made. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded the devil. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank y'all for what I made. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded the devil. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank y'all for what I made. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded the devil. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie screen.
All right, all right, all right. Okay, gotcha. Let me open up your mics.
Okay. I like that. Hey, I like that song. Yeah.
Okay, I am in and out of driving and moving around, talking to bosses, and all while I'm doing this show at the same time, y'all. So y'all kind of gind of forgive me. Okay.
Yeah.
I am most
okay, bro.
You know the with that being said, Sister Thale, I want to go ahead and kind of close out this show. And I know
right.
We're going to end it a little early, but I'm driving, y'all, and I got a deadline on this load and all of that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this show, y'all.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
So
thank you, sir, and you have a blessed evening.
All right. So shalom. Y'all, do anybody got anything to kind of put out there before I actually kind of let us go?
No, I ain't got nothing.
Anything to say?
No, I don't.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Sister Sister Dale, that testimony was very beautiful. Yeah, I appreciate you giving, you know, letting us hear that, letting us, you know, I'm your son, so you know I heard it.
Yeah,
but
I know,
you know, it's glad
times.
To have it on air.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just love to hear it. Okay,
thank
so
you.
Yeah, y'all, let me go ahead and end this show because I'm driving and the traffic is something else. So
sure,
let me go on and get on off. Shalom,
okay.
Y'all. And I'm closing your mics. Yeah, so let me go ahead and play one of Sister Thale's favorite songs. You know what now, Sister Thale? Let me play another one. Let's praise Yah. No? Let's go with Signs of the Times. Yep. That's where we at.
Signs of the times, revelations open your mind, hear the trumpets blowing, shalom to my Akhenatis, be at peace, we gon' soon get set free, hey,
told her Abba,
you're my doctor, if I obey you then my soul prosper, strengthen my posture, deliver me from wicked imposters,
yep.
Put my body under subjection, that's carnal lockup, tend to the soil, good seeds that should've blossomed,
really.
Nourish it with water from Abba, he sees the outcome,
true.
Pay no mind to the foolish, they playing possum. Put away childish behavior, come off colostrum.
Damn.
Flee from the lust of the flesh, remember Sodom. Pay no mind to commandments, that's rock bottom. Generation lost, my Abba restore your value. Take heed, the earth moves on with or without you. Vanity belongs on the hills, what it amounts to. My people touching all four corners, we coming out soon.
Really.
Store up good works towards them, he would announce you. Babylon is falling, young Aki, just look around you.
Hey,
you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind, you hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Aki, not to see. Be at peace. Hey, you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind. You hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Akhenatis. Be at peace. We can soon be set free. Hey,
see when you gird it with spiritual armor,
free,
you know that the battles are far from within.
Come.
To keep those things from coming to the surface, which is the flesh.
I read, hey.
Peace, love, and light. I speak that in the spiritual, manifest in the physical. Insight, biblical, salvation is critical. Can't believe in God, not his word is hypocritical. Don't let the devil get to you, don't accept what he offer you. He gon' try to purchase you, but let him know he treasures stored in heaven, get behind you. He know who's beside you, the gates of heaven open, and I just want you to walk through. Self-evaluation is a must. Plus, you gotta fight the demons and the lust. Plus, we at the end time, don't fall down. At first you didn't know, but now you know now. In the book of life, I hope it ain't written. Trying to do what I gotta do to get it. The hell with this world, I do not visit. Gotta watch myself, can't keep slipping. In the book of life, I hope it ain't written. Trying to do what I gotta do to get it. The hell with this world, I do not visit. Gotta watch myself, can't keep slipping.
You can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind.
I know we need to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that proving of your belief work is endurance. Hallelujah.
Forgive me, Abba Yahuwah, my ways were reckless.
Yeah.
Shameful before you, my praise is a broken record.
Dang.
Repent for my sins, inequity, transgression. Selfish and ways of a man hinder his blessing.
Truly.
Figure through these lessons, we learn to give them reverence. Speak to myself in the process, relate a message.
Yep.
Looking at the youth and it seems like they got a death wish.
Dang.
Pray for your humble and Aki to give you leverage.
Leverage.
And so we press on, I move into greater cause. Count on his laws, instructions, and break your fault.
Yep.
Birth pain, similar woman with menopause.
Dang.
Matthew 24:8 explains it all. And
really.
None of all gone, but clean, don't make me start. Search me, I'll refine my inner parts, yes. Blindfolded faith is like a shot in the dark. Re-second answer is homie, they get just sparked. And I hope this introduction will cause you to switch lanes. Enmity with Abba is mutual exchange.
Yes.
So I praise for my people you call to maintain. Obedience to your Abba will earn you his latter reign. And you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind.
You hear the trumpets blowing.
Shalom to my Akhenatis. Be at peace, we can soon be set free.
Hey.
You can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind.
y'all can say all fart.
Oh, damn. Is my mic on?